Reading from St. Luke in chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Gospel of our Lord. If you are someone who does not particularly like to sing, I sincerely feel sorry for you at this time of the year, on this particular night. Christmas has a strong connection to lights and cookies and decorations, commerce, merrymaking, and a whole list of other elements that make the season what they are, but I think you and I could quickly come to agreement that this season would just not be the same if there wasn't any music. And not just any kind of music, but singable music, so that everyone can be involved. Well, then it should be no Christmas surprise that the very wise fathers of Christianity, those scholars of old that had to decide which of the psalms they would choose for the psalm of the day for Christmas Eve, chose Psalm 96. The Spirit inspired this psalm many, many years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And it was something written by the ancient psalmist for a number of different purposes other than the one we're using it for this evening. And yet, as we read this psalm, we quickly realize that if there is any day of the year calling for every last living thing in the universe to sing in praise and wonder of awe and amazement and honor of the Creator, Savior, God, this has got to be it. We celebrate God's birth into our world as one of us. It's right there on a par with Easter, when he rose from death to guarantee our resurrection and eternal life. I have an annual conversation with my confirmation classes that usually sparks a bit of a debate within the class, just that day, of course, which is the more important occasion for us as Christians? Is it Christmas or is it Easter? And the path of that conversation takes is almost identical year after year, as you have some students choosing one side of the issue and making their case and making it strong, only to find that there's just as good arguments on the other side of the issue, and before you know it, we've all reached agreement that this is a debate without an end. We need our Savior to be born into our world of a virgin. He needs to be sinless. And yet we equally need him to be living perfectly for us and dying innocently and willingly as the payment price for our sins and rising again victoriously to guarantee our eternal life with him. For all of this to mean anything for us. Thus, they are equal in celebration. As our psalm actually proclaims, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. And the peoples, in his truth. And so it is, an annual moment to stop and sing. But it's not just those gathered in this place, in this room multiple times, tonight and tomorrow, that stop and sing. It is people everywhere across this globe on these 2 days, stopping to acknowledge and join all of the universe, every living thing, in singing praise in every language, from every circumstance of life. God's creation adds their voices to that chorus that transcends time and place. Every living thing has reason to sing, is invited to sing. Do you remember how this song began? If you take it back to its core elements, it is very easy to see how it is actually God initiating and writing and causing the song. Think just about Advent and the weeks that we just walk through, whether it's Old Testament songs, psalms, and prophecies, or whether it's those early New Testament songs from Luke of Zechariah and Mary with her Magnificat. Songs of anticipation, songs of preparation, songs of joy in the Lord's salvation, proclaiming it accomplished even though it is yet to come. And then the night of Jesus' birth. Dark sky shredded with holy heavenly light, and a mighty angel chorus sings a flawless, thunderous song of worship to the Creator. From that moment, there would never be any doubt ever again that this day, this celebration of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, descendant of David, yet our eternal King, absolutely requires song. Celebration in song, proclamation in song, adding our voices, adding our sounds to the sounds of the universe that celebrate our God's salvation. Take a moment and think of that, though, through the perspective offered to you in Psalm 96, the verses printed in your worship folder. We should never be surprised that the angels sang a song of celebration, of worship, of acknowledgement of God's glory and his saving plan that night of Jesus' birth, because every living thing. Every speck of the created universe knew it was the right moment to sing. In their stunned amazement of what they had just experienced, do you suppose that the shepherds echoed the song of the angels and sang it amongst themselves as they ran to the stable and then made their way back home? Do you think, just possibly, that for the rest of their lives, it might have even been a daily reality that they tried to share that song of its message, its glory, its saving reality with anyone willing to listen for the rest of their lives? The reality is that music, and especially singing, is contagious on this night. And in this season. That's because every one of us and every other living thing that exists has every reason to sing. Despite our sins, despite our violence and our hatred, our racism, our immorality, our selfishness, our God still loves us. He is still willing to be one of us. Not just one of us at some point in the past, but one of us right now. Wearing his humanity. As he sits on the throne of heaven, ascended there in glory, now raised from the dead. Having been perfected and completed as the God-man in the living and the dying and the rising. Proclaimed to us in the Gospels. Every moment of our existence, he chooses to be with us still, now, every day. He isn't a distant God. He is a present God, one who is with us, who is for us, willing to place himself beneath our greatest needs. He has even been willing to experience the worst and the fullest of the realities of hell and death, to conquer them forever, for you and for me. If you are a Christmas churchgoer and you are not familiar with all that Jesus offers you, all that he has done for you, all that his being born into our world and living and obeying and suffering and dying and rising for you means, how in all of that he pays for your sin, takes all of your guilt upon himself, makes you a promise of certainty, of life with him forever, life after death, life in perfection, life in completeness and fulfillment with him forever. I pray that you will seek that truth for your life, for your forgiveness, for your salvation very soon. And as you grow in your understanding of all that your God has done for you and is continuing to do for you, you will also grow in your awareness, your realization of why every living thing has reason to praise our Savior God on this day and every day. Every eternal answer our hearts and minds need to settle every truly consequential question that plagues us are available to us because this Jesus arrived into the world to present them to us and live them for us. And so you and I join the chorus of the faithful, singing the praises of the amazing, loving Savior God. And then we spend our days growing in our understanding of what it all means. Growing our knowledge of and our reliance on everything Jesus has done for us and everything that he's promised to us. You have every reason, just as every other living thing has every reason to sing. to sing praises to a God who saves us, to sing on Christmas night, to sing on Christmas day, to sing on any and every day, to sing forever. So tonight, you're in exactly the right place. Because you and I, we have plenty of singing left to do. Amen.